family who worships together. That is a great blessing, whether you realize it or not. Family that worship together. This is Thanksgiving season. The Christmas season and Thanksgiving season is always family time, and I appreciate it so much because it reflects back on the past year. It went by so fast, the Thanksgiving, and I especially like that song that you sung, "Thank You, Lord, for Your Blessings on Me." I have a roof over my head. I have been fortunate enough to go to Mexico and cross the border and see people that didn't have a roof over their head. It made me want to thank the Lord when I hear this and see that the people don't have a roof over their head. And I have a real, real good place to sleep, and I appreciate the Lord for my good bed, my good bedroom, and my good house. I got a good place to sleep, but I saw people in trash dump with their children laying down on pasteboard, didn't have a good place to sleep. I got shoes on my feet. In fact, I got several pairs of shoes, as most of you have today. But I saw kids walking around the trash dump, 2 years old and younger, didn't have any shoes. Thank you for the love that Jesus Christ has stored upon me. But most of all, thank you for a fine family. Thank you for a fine family. This is a special time to recognize families and really for the blessings on our family this past year and our past life that God has blessed us with so much. In these verses of scripture here this morning, we're going to tell you about the rules of the household and also the roles of the household and how God has blessed us so very, very much. Verse 15, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in praise, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in words or deeds, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands, as it is fit unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wife, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the blessings today. And for this type of the season, God, we just want to thank you. Lord, it reflects back to the thanksgiving that you've blessed us so much in this past year, so much in the years, even of our country that we're living in this hour. Father, we just have so much, Lord, to thank you for that a lot of times so many of us, including myself, don't even realize we take for granted so many things that we should be thankful for. But, Lord, we just want to take time out this week and this day for thanksgiving, most of all for the special gift of salvation, Lord, that you gave your Son, Lord, that we may have life. And, Lord, we have it more abundantly, and we have it eternity, Lord, and we have it with our families in heaven forever and ever. So we just want to thank you and praise you for all the goodness, Lord, that you've poured upon us, Lord, not this day but throughout our life. God, we just pray that you would give you the honor and the praise and glory for everything, Lord, here today, and that your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, Lord, that we might lift him up, Lord, in this service today. Give praise to the name of Jesus and all these blessings we ask in his holy and precious name. And amen and amen. Family. You know, the devil hates family that worship together. I mean, the devil hates family that worship together. If you don't worship together, you make the devil very happy because he do not want families worshiping together. Proverbs 14 and 26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong consideration and also confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Aren't you glad that your children have a place of refuge and Jesus Christ is that place of refuge? The devil will allow parents to be very religious. In fact, there's a lot of religious parents today, but it does not want you to take your children to heaven with you as a result of your religion. So we are losing a generation left behind to die and what's left for them if they don't know the Lord, but a place that's called hell that God made for the devil and his angels and not for mankind. So parents have so compromised with old Satan so many times that we understand that our children will not have the life eternally unless they know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But the family that comes and worship together, thank you today. If your family comes and worship together, you are a very, very, very blessed family today. Proverbs 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name. Worship the Lord in beauty of holiness. The finest product Christianity faith has ever produced is the Christian family. The greatest testimony and the power of Jesus Christ is a family that loves together, serves together, and worships together. Amen. God in the Garden of Eden established the family. The oldest thing in this world is the family, older than government. God established the family together, founded the family together, and then he wrote a book, and he gave it to us for our families to understand how the family works today. And it will work when Jesus Christ comes into your life and comes into your home. I tell you, the home will work. God designed it to be all that he wanted it to be, and he gave us the book to understand why and how. Back in the olden days when old Model T cars were on the roads, there was a man had an old Model T going down the road, and it stopped on him. Well, he's like me, he didn't know too much about mechanics. But he just sat there for a while, and for long another man in a Model T come by, said, you having trouble? He said, I sure am. I don't know what's wrong with this thing, but it just won't crank and it just won't run. So the other man got out of his old Model T, went over and lifted up the hood and beat and bammed and fran pulled and everything else, and managed to get back in and try it again. He got back in, and boy, it started right up. He said, man, that is fine. That is fine. Started to drive off. He said, by the way, I didn't catch your name. Who are you? He said, my name is Henry Ford. The man who made the car knows how it works. God made the families. And he knows how they should work. He made them. He designed them. And he gives us the Bible for family worship to understand all that we need to understand about family worship. You know, in our United States today, marriage and the family has lost its concept. Families, to tell you today, when families goes, the church goes, and our nation goes. Family's important. That's the reason the devil is mad whenever families worship together. He's very, very mad. He don't want you to bring your family to church. He don't want you to bring your boys and girls to church. Well, this morning we're going to talk about the rules of the household. Won't be preaching. I'm just going to be talking to you this morning. How the family and your family works, the rules of your household and my household should be according to the Word of God. Not according to this man, but according to the Word of God. That's what you need to understand. Somebody said, that's the way I believe. That's the way I believe. It's not the way you believe, not the way you feel, but it's what God says. We have to come to that conclusion. Also in 15 and 16, as I already said, and let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now we find out there's three phases we'd like to look at here this morning. And these three phases is let the peace of God guide, let the word of God guide, and let the name of God guide, which is Jesus Christ, guide us in our household, guide us into our family. These phrases, we need the guiding principle to have a successful family and successful Christian family that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that to understand it. Let the peace of God guide everything and every disposition that we have, and all the peace in the home is let the peace of God that rule. Now, that word rule, as we understand that verse 15, it's a word that's used for umpire. Now, I know that a lot of you played ball or have played ball, and in playing ball, they have an umpire. Well, what does an umpire do? An umpire, one that sets the rule, says you're out or you're in. The umpire is one that makes the decisions about the game. And this word rule, let the umpire rule in your heart, out or in, relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. The Word of God, that the Spirit of God and the Word of God umpire in your heart when you come to church, when you live, whatever you might do, when you worship, your in or out decision, and every decision that we make should be made with the umpire of our heart ruling with the Word of God and the Spirit of God in our heart. Well, he'll accept this. He don't accept this. Or you should do that or should do something else. It's the rule of the umpire in our heart. Let the peace of God rule. Let the umpire rule. Now, the peace of God means to join together. When we have peace, it joins us together. Worry is the opposite of peace. It pulls us apart. Do you ever worry about something? It will tear you all to pieces. Your family and whatever problems you're going through, when you worry about it, it will pull you apart. But peace, it joins us back together again. Families today, would you admit that you know some families just pull apart? I mean, they are really, really pulled apart. Well, he's telling us in the Word of God how to keep from being pulled apart. The Word of God, that umpire and that peace that we have, let the body, the soul, and the spirit keep from being pulled apart in our family. God is the ruler. God is the peace and his word in our hearts today. Verse 16, let the word of God, or of Christ, dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What is the word of God? What is the word of Christ, it says in these scriptures? It is the Bible that you hold in your hand this morning. This is the word of Christ. This is the word of God. Whenever Jesus Christ, remember, was tempted, and he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And this is every word that will ever come from the mouth of God to human mankind. There will never be anything else said by God that have already been said in this word that I hold here this morning. God will never speak to you in any other way except through the Word of God. He'll have nothing else to say to human beings on the place of this earth what he have already said in his Word. This is the final Word. This is the complete Word. This is the Word of Christ. This is the Word of God. Let it dwell in your heart. Proverbs said, the Word of God is a light unto my feet, a lamp unto my feet. And I explained this several times when I grew up in the area where we didn't have a lot of lights. Didn't have no flashlights, but we had a lamp. Y'all know what oil lamps is or lamps in the house? Y'all know what that is? Some of you know what it is, some of you don't. Well, if you went outside, they had lanterns. They had these oil lamps, what we call them kerosene lamps. And if you go outside or even around in the house, when it got dark, you had to have a lantern with you or these kerosene lamps with you. If you go to room, it was dark. There weren't no lights in the house. So you go outside. You know, didn't have no running water, didn't have anything. You had to have a lamp. And see, and it said the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. I like what the Holy Spirit says because it tells us about a lamp. You know, a lamp is not like a flashlight. You can shine back in the field now and you see where you're going by the lamp. Only thing a lamp will do is shine out there about 6 feet. But as you take a step, what happens? That 6 feet, it just keeps going and keeps going. It is a light to my path. It's not going to shine out there. The light of the Word of God is not going to shine out there and tell you what everything is in the future. But it gives you a lamp of the Word of God for your family. He's not going to tell you all about the family with a log, big searchlight to shine back in the field and see as good as you can in the daytime. He's going to give you a lamp, the Word of God. And every step of the Word of God that you take, you know what? He'll light the next step in your path for you and your family. Every step that we take is another light that we might understand, we might see. As we take those steps, he begins to lighten our path. That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God he said for us. And your family here this morning, your loved ones, if you take this Word of God, I'm going to tell you what it is, a lamp unto your feet. Let it hear the Bible is a very important part of your family. The Bible is a very, very important part of your family. Does the Bible bring you and your family to church? It's good that you bring your Bible to church, but do your Bible bring you to worship together in the house of the Lord? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you. And that word dwell is the same word, settle down. Most of us, all of us have been on probably vacation. Motels, I never slept on a good bed in a motel. This is not my own bed. There's no bed in the world sleeps better than my bed. I like to travel, I like to go from time to time if I ever get a chance to go. But you know what the best part about vacation is? When you get back home in your old bed, you get the water in that old bed is the best part of vacation, that old bed. Thank you, Lord, because that's home. And it says for the Word of God to dwell. Well, when you're traveling and you're on vacation, you eating out and you eating wherever you want to eat at, and you in these motels, you're not dwelling too good, and you're not settling down in no motel. You get your suitcase rolled in there, and you throw it back up. You get just the necessity things that you need, and you close it back up because you're not home. That's not your dwelling place. That's just a passing through. It says, let the Word of God dwell, settle down, be at home, not just on vacation from time to time that you pull it out on Sunday morning, maybe. But it's every day, every hour, every week, through all of your family, every day, a home. When we come to live in the home, settle down. When a family invests in the truth of the Word of Jesus Christ into every situation, it's a guiding principle for every decision that we should make. Church service, it says, dwell in you richly. That word richly is a picture of a man who comes, that's very, very wealthy, and comes into your dwelling place and furnished with all of his riches, furnishes everything that you need. Let the peace of God come into your family and rule and give you everything that you need with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's very important. I know families going through some problems. You know what they need to do? They need to get out some old singing. I'm going to tell you, be on CDs or whatever it might be, on television or radio or tapes or whatever, and listen to some old spiritual songs. I remember when my grandmother had an old radio. We'd come in for dinner time whenever I was little. They would have maybe one or two stations. I don't know how many they could carry about long. But always at dinner time, they had a station that always had the old spiritual songs. Boy, I can remember that. They were so pretty. And, you know, I was lost as old Hank by that time, but I still like to hear old spiritual songs. You need to listen to spiritual songs and hymns and tell us about Jesus Christ. The story of Jesus, the sweetest was ever was told. In the sweet by and by. And all these old songs. Father along, we'll understand it more better by and by. Just all these old spiritual songs. That's what it's talking about. Let your whole house have the songs and hymns about Jesus Christ. I tell you what, it would do a family good that's going through some problems just to turn on and have these songs going all through the day about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let the name of Christ guide all the deeds into your home. Verse 17, now whatsoever you do in words and deeds, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Let the name of Jesus Christ guide every principle for everything that you do for your family. Mothers and fathers, I know you have some very hard-working mothers and fathers to make your family have everything they have, make provisions for them. But Jesus Christ, but he signed his name on everything that you do and not do for your family. That's what it's talking about. Would he sign his signature when you come to church? Would he sign his signature if you decide you're not coming to church? You're not going to have family worship at that set time? Would he sign his signature to that in the name of the Lord? And we work very hard to give our family the living that they deserve. You see, we need to do it in the guidance of the Lord. So the rule of the household. But then as we kind of rush on through this, we have the role of the household. You see, the home has a relationship. We have problems in our country today, do we not? And so many problems we have in our country. I was reading some polls where it said over 3 million today, between 3 and 4 million a day is living together without benefit of marriage. It's a growing thing in our society. Over 30% of children in the United States are living with single parents. Praise the single parents are trying to raise their kids. I tell you, they really need all the help they can get. There's come a commonplace in our country, in our lives today, about single parents and living together without the benefit of marriage. You see, God made the marriage, and he gave us a book to live by. I've been reading several of old pastors and pastors around. I kept the little records of things that happened in their life. I wish I'd done that whenever I first started off, the different records and things. But there's a man up there in Charlotte, North Carolina, named Joe Brown. Marsha probably read behind him, old Joe Brown. He's a very nice man. He got a big church, very wonderful church. And he began to write down some things that happened to him in his life and also in his church service. And he said in his church service he had a professional football player, very wealthy, and he attended his church up there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And that day the man was in service, and he was preaching on marriage and what the Bible says about marriage, how God is joined together in holy matrimony, and he's preaching that service. And this ball player was there, but he had his live-in girlfriend with him. And you see, when he was going to hear what God had to say about it, he sent word back to that preacher Joe. He says, I will not be back at your church no more because I was offended. So what? Big deal. God will not change his word because you are offended. He will not change his word because some athlete has offended the living wife. People will not listen to sound doctrine this day and time. They don't want to hear his word. But he will not change his word for you. He will not change his word for me. The problem of the United States today, I tell you, we a lot of time when it offends somebody, what most people do, and a lot of preachers back in the pulpits, all they do is just back down. They won't hurt nobody's feelings, and I don't either, but I want to tell you the truth of the Word of God. You know why? Because I got to stand for everything I say before Jesus Christ. Did I tell you the truth? Now, I want to hurt your feelings or not. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but I must stand before Jesus Christ for what I say. And I want to tell you the truth. You say, well, that's unkind. It's more unkind not to tell you the truth. The moral absolutes, people do not want to hear it when you preach about sin. The marital relationship, verse 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. Husband, love your wife. Love your wife and be not bitter against them. Now, the feminist goes crazy over those verses of scripture I just read. I mean, they just go wild. Submission in the Bible, man, wife, and family, do we understand it, is what God said. It's just, you know, leadership. Submit yourself. Be constantly, voluntarily, ladies, submitting to your own husband as the Lord have said. And it says in Ephesians 5 and 22, wives, submit yourself unto your own husband as unto the Lord. But also 5 and 25 says, husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Love your wife. It is command. It is a continuous command. Husband, love your wife. It is a command, a contentious command. Wives, submit to your own husband. Love your wife. I know y'all heard this two or three times, this old joke when the husband died and went to heaven. St. Peter was at the gate, you know, and he knocked on the door, and St. Peter, I don't know where you get this stuff from, St. Peter ain't going to be the one to let you in. But anyway, St. Peter opened the gate, says, you can't come in here, sir, until you know the password, and you got to spell the password. He said, I don't know the password. He said, well, I'll help you. I'll tell you what the password is. The password is love, but you got to spell it. He said, well, I got this. L-O-V-E. So he comes in, and St. Peter got a telephone call. He says, will you mind the gate while I'm gone? I got to go up and see the Lord for a few minutes. So the man, he minded the gate for a little while, and before long there was another knock at the gate door. He went to the gate, and it was a man's wife. He said, my Lord, what in the world are you doing up here? She said, I just felt like I could not live without you. I want to come in. He said, well, I'll tell you the password, but you got to spell it. She said, what is it? He said, Czechoslovakia. That's not what the Bible says, men. It says, love your wife. Love your wife. Parallel relationship, verse 20 and 21. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Father, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Parallel relationship. There's an order that God made. Parallel relationship. If it's out of order, the whole family is out of order. Children deserve a loving heart. You know, children deserve a tended ear. Children deserve a very watchful eye. Children deserve a helpful hand. Children deserve a praying knee. Family that worship together stays together. And reading another little article about a pastor who was for many years marriage counsel, and he penned this true story. A man named Kip was in the church and he was doing real well. He was going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. He was very active in church. 31 years of age. He was a very good businessman. Being a good, very businessman, he was very successful. Began to make a lot of money. Had a very beautiful knockout wife and two really beautiful, beautiful children. But Kip, as the more money that he made, the less he attended church with him and his family. The more successful he got in his business, the less he needed church. The more traveling time, the less him and his family was in church. And after a while, he got involved with an affair with another woman. Well, he left his wife for a short time, and then he'd go back with her and go back to his mistress, and he'd come back, and he'd go back and to and back and to. And after a little while, his mistress, his girlfriend, became pregnant. And he went back to his wife and says, "We need to talk." So they sat down for 2 or 3 hours of counsel with the pastor, and she'd done the talking. He said to her, I don't feel like I love you anymore. I don't feel like I love you anymore. And I don't feel like I'd be the husband, the father as I'm supposed to be, so I'm leaving you." And his wife looked at him and said, "Okay, you can leave. You can leave. But Kip, I don't have any feelings for you one way or the other. Not one bit. But I love Jesus Christ. And I'm committed to Jesus Christ. And I love the church. And I believe the Bible. Kip, I'm going to ask you one thing. Then you can leave. And I'm not going to ask you how you feel. I'm going to ask you, what do you believe? Because the Bible says, until death do us part. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband. Husbands, love your wife. What do you believe today? Not what you feel, but what mothers and fathers, wife and husbands, what do you believe is the answer today. It's not based on feelings. It's based on facts. And it's based on the Word of God and what you believe. Another pastor in the middle of the night, I wish I'd wrote down some of my things, but I read another pastor in the middle of the night, got a call from police station, asked him would he come to this certain house that a young boy was in a Mustang traveling 100 miles an hour, and he hit a tree, and he was killed instantly with a mangled up body at 100 miles an hour. He hit a tree. He asked the pastor, the police asked the pastor, would you come and would you minister to the family? So he said he would. He went to the home, and there he began to have prayer with the family as he could, and had prayer. He asked the mother, said, would you like to go down to the morgue now and see your son? And she said, no, I want to remember him just like he was. He asked the father, you want to go down? He said, yeah, I want to go down. So they went down. The man saw his broken body of his son and threw himself upon his body of his son. He said, Lord, let him come back to life for 5 minutes. Let him come back for 5 minutes. I never told him that I loved him. I never told my son that I loved him. Let him come back for just 5 minutes. Well, the preacher went back to the home, began to have prayer with his wife. She said, "Pastor, would you pray my son out of hell?" I never took him to church. We never had family worship. Would you pray my son out of hell? I'm going to close. We come with a song of invitation. Family members, you might want to meet your family here at this altar. You might be right where you're at. You might want to turn to your family. You might want to gather your family together today and tell them that you love them. Because there will be no 5 minutes after death they might come back and say the thing that you'd like to say to them. Have you told them lately that you love them? Your family, your children. Do you really have family worship? Whatever God has laid on your heart this morning, this is family time. But I could just see that mother and father never told that son that he loved him. She never said, "I never brought him to church." It is sad when parents won't bring their children to church. You know, we have some people here at Pleasant Hill and members of our church that won't bring their family to church. And you don't think it's important to have family worship, but I'll tell you, it's important. You say, "Well, I've got by pretty good." You see, payday's not come yet. Payday hadn't come yet, but it will come. How gracious God is to each and every one of us. As I said, whatever God has led you to do, you might want to be here at this altar, wherever you are, as we stand and sing this good old hymn of amazing grace. And it is amazing grace that God allowed us to be here this morning as we stand and sing. Tell the family they love them. The Lord spoke to your heart for salvation. Won't you come before it's everlasting too late? Won't you come? Rededicate her life and move her letter to the membership of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. We know that God spoke to more than one. I hear a motion, we accept her. And second.
Second.
All in favor by saying amen.
Amen.
God bless you. And we all going to do all we can for her to help her every way we can. This is a church family. And Susie, we appreciate you, and we'd like to ask you and your husband to go. Would you mind going to the foyer and stand as we go by and shake our hands as we go out? Ask if you go with you, okay? Would you mind going to the foyer? Just go as we stand. Anyone else? We have another stanza. Amazing grace. You just saw amazing grace. Open our hearts at this hour and see what Christ has done for your family.
Tis grace that brought.
hate to quit, stop. But we know that God's working, don't we? How precious He is to our families. As I said, I wish I'd have kept me a ledger. Different things have happened in my life as my 30 years of pastoring. As I've been conducting funerals, when the casket was open, many a time I saw tears fall on the face of the loved ones and say, "Mama, I should have told you I loved you. Daddy, I should have told you I love you." It's too late when they're in the coffin. You need to tell them now. Now is the day of the Lord, right now. God bless you. Thank you this day. Brother Stevie Sweat, do you mind giving us a benediction, please?